the Albert Mohler Program, your place for intelligent Christian conversation about the issues that matter. Dr. Mohler is president of the Southern Baptist Theological Seminary and one of the nation's leading theologians and cultural commentators. To get online with Dr. Mohler, call toll-free nationwide, 1-877-893-TALK. That's 1-877-893-8255. Now, here's your host, Dr. Albert Mohler.
Hello, America. Welcome to the Albert Mohler Program. You know, here is a really frightening reality. It's documented now by the British Medical Journal, and it's right here for all of us to see. One of the most dangerous places in the world right now to be is in a mother's womb in China if you're a girl. The reality is that the abortion of baby girls in China has now reached such a matter of being more or less standard fare that it is now such an imbalance that we're looking at millions and millions and millions of young Chinese boys that will never have wives, they will never be able to marry. You're looking at a preference for boys that is deeply rooted in an ancient Confucian tradition of boys as the first child and the most important child. It has socioeconomic ramifications and all the rest, but we're now looking at China's one-child-only policy being where we see abortion colliding with totalitarianism, and it really is ugly. Now, we're going to be talking about this today not just to look at what's going on in China, although that is really something we've got to talk about. But one of the things that spins off of this is the question, how would you argue against what's going on in China? On what basis could we frame an argument? Is it going to be a human rights argument? Is it going to be an argument that girls should be recognized as being of equal status as boys? Should we argue that it's wrong to abort baby girls in the womb? I certainly hope so, but we're going to have to frame that argument. And then comes another question. How would a feminist committed to abortion for any reason or no reason in the United States make any kind of argument against this at all? Here's where we're going to arrive, and I really hope we arrive here together. I think this issue is going to help us to understand that there is only one consistent worldview that affirms human dignity and establishes why it is absolutely, unquestionably, horrifyingly wrong to abort baby girls in the womb, just because they are baby girls. We're going to be talking about this today on the Albert Mohler Program. I wrote an article I published overnight on this issue, which is entitled When Abortion Collides with Totalitarianism. It's found on our website at albertmohler.com. And we're going to be looking at that question today and all that spins off of it, because when it comes to human dignity, I'll just come back again and again. I want to say I do not know of any worldview that can support human dignity in any strong and substantial way other than the worldview of Christianity revealed in the Bible. It ought to be a good discussion. The phone number to join this discussion is 877-893-8255. That's 877-893-TALK. We will get to that topic in just a moment. Big news today as New York Governor David Patterson is announcing plans to legalize same-sex marriage in New York. According to National Public Radio, the governor is making a political gamble that he can ride the momentum of other states that have recently allowed the practice. The proposal is the same bill that the democratically controlled state assembly passed in 2007, where it later died before the Senate, where the Republican majority kept it from going to a vote. But Democrats now control the New York Senate, but opponents are vowing to make sure that this proposal fails as well. It's a very interesting picture in New York. Governor Patterson's approval ratings have plunged to below 20%. It is unclear as to whether he has the leadership and the momentum behind his leadership, the credibility to actually get this through what might be a rather resistant Senate there in New York, but it's going to be nonetheless another test case. We're going to be seeing what goes on here in terms of whether or not the legalization of same-sex marriage really is more or less inevitable. And by the way, that is also a topic that's getting a lot of attention today because of a story at National Public Radio. Charles C. Haynes, a senior scholar of the First Amendment Center, said this: the demographics are clear, the trends are strong and not reversible. It's all over but the shouting. He's talking about gay marriage, same-sex marriage, and its legalization. Though people feel, quote, deeply and emotionally about the issue, Haynes said, quote, gay marriage is inevitable in the United States. It's not an entirely new argument, but you'll notice it's coming again and again and again. Tony Perkins of the Family Research Council said, without some reversal of the trends, that could be the case, but I'm not resigned to that. I don't think anything is inevitable. Well, I was asked the same thing by Time Magazine last week, and as I told you, I had to answer more or less similarly. Intellectual honesty compels me to say I feel the ground shifting under our feet. And once this is well underway, as it might be right now, beyond our sight, I think we're going to have to do a lot of finger-pointing that will come backward upon the church for the fact that we simply marginalized marriage by many other practices, really opening the door for the vulnerability of an entire culture to miss the point about marriage to the extent they legalize same-sex marriage. There's nothing easy here. There's no easy equation. But let's face it, this is a society that has been undermining and subverting marriage for the better part of the last half century, largely by divorce law. When no-fault divorce became the law of the land, marriage was redefined before our eyes, but no one had to say it, no one had to acknowledge it, no one had to admit it the way we do when it comes to the legalization of same-sex marriage. We'll be talking about this in days to come and tracking this issue with you. Meanwhile, there's a lot of controversy going on in Afghanistan. And in an odd way, it has a strange moral parallel to what we're talking about as our main topic on the program today, and that is the abortion of baby girls in China because of a prejudice for baby boys. Here's the headline. It's in USA Today. Afghan women rally against marital law. The law, by the way, grants husbands the right to force themselves sexually upon their wives, and it gives wives no right to claim that this is any form of a sexual assault. But what's really going on here, by the way, is that this law got through the government in Afghanistan, and there is a flurry of controversy over this, and as I'm looking at it, I see British newspapers with controversy, I see American newspapers, The Economist. There is just an incredible amount of response to this. And again, there are people who are claiming that this is wrong. Of course, I want to come back and say, well, I do believe that it's wrong. I believe that this law is objectively wrong. I believe that this law, which grants to women a second-class status in the law in a very clear and abhorrent sense, I believe it's wrong. I just want to know how others argue it's wrong. If they argue that all truth is relative and all morality is contextual, then who's to tell the residents of Afghanistan that this is wrong? It's another reminder that worldviews really do matter, and they always matter. One of the things we're going to be watching in coming days is what's going on in Great Britain. A massive new study is out showing that, for instance, just take this one statistic. The proportion of 20 to 34-year-old men living at home with their parents is now 29%. Now, you heard that right. If you go to Britain and you take every young man between the ages of 20 to 34, 30% of them are living at home. Meanwhile, marriage rates in England and Wales have fallen to their lowest level since 1985, even though the population is larger. The number of marriages was only 237,000. Here's another very interesting statistic. Women are having their first baby at an average age of 27.5. That's how old they are, 27.5. That same age, compared to 1971, was 23.7. So you're looking at not only a delay of marriage marking one of the major demographic trends experienced by Western nations, but you're looking at the delay of pregnancy, the delay of childbearing as well, by as much as 4 years just in the period of one generation. That may not sound like a whole lot, but let me tell you, you add that up over time and you have a major definition, redefinition of how human beings live and conceive of the pattern of their lives. Here is one more statistic coming from the study in Great Britain. Not only does it tell us that one-third of all young men are now back living with their parents, not only does it tell us that the age of the woman having her first child is now 4 years older than just a generation ago, it also tells us that a very, very large number of those young women are not married. The Telegraph in London is running a news story. Its headline is very graphic. The death of the traditional family. Let me just read to you one last line out of this report. If this doesn't catch your attention, I don't know what will. Women in Great Britain are now more likely to give birth before they turn 25 than to get married. Listen to that one more time. Women in Great Britain are now more likely to give birth before they turn 25 than they are to get married before they turn 25. Folks, once again, we are living in the midst of a social and moral revolution. It's going to take quick thinking. It's going to take biblical thinking. It's going to take careful thinking for Christians to think Christianly in the midst of this confusion. We're going to come back to talk about why the womb is such a dangerous place for Chinese girls to be. The phone number is 877-893-8255. You're listening to the Albert Mueller Program.
The Superior Gold Group, a precious metals firm, is proud to sponsor the Albert Mueller Program. You can get more information about buying gold at 866-432-8656.
Welcome back to the Albert Mueller Program. Very interesting topic today, and frankly, a horrifying one. For years, we have known something of what has been going on behind the wall there in China. China, of course, is one of the most populated nations on Earth. Just as a little footnote, a new book coming out entitled God is Back argues that within a short amount of time, China will be the largest nation in terms of the Christian population on Earth and simultaneously the largest nation in terms of the Muslim population on Earth. But the issue today is population, but it's not about religious designation. Instead, it is about the fact that there is now widespread the practice of aborting baby girls in China. Here's what's going on. In China, there's always been, as far back as you can trace, a prejudice toward having boys rather than girls. Those who look at such things would argue that it goes back to the historic practice of course, patrilineage, the practice of boys inheriting the farm in order to hold the family and its wealth together. It goes back to the fact that boys were understood to add labor, such that having a boy meant you had an additional worker in the field or in the business, in the shop. And so there has long been this prejudice toward having baby boys. Well, along comes the totalitarian communist government of China and what they perceive to be a population explosion that needs to be met with state intervention. So the state decides it's going to make reproductive decisions on behalf of the people. The state, which is the Chinese government, a communist government, puts in place a policy known as the one-child-only policy, which means that every married couple can have one child and only one child. Now, there's just a whole lot there that is deadly dangerous. There is every violation of human rights you can imagine, getting right down to the reproductive decisions of couples. But it turns murderous beyond that, because here you have a question. If you have a population of teeming hundreds of millions and you want to take, as a government action, control over their reproduction, then you know what you're going to have to do? You're going to have to use abortion as a regular means, an enforced means of keeping people from having babies. There have been reports that have come out even in recent weeks about women who have been taken against their will to abortion clinics and they have had an abortion forced on them because they were experiencing a second pregnancy. Well, it turns out that China's had to modify its policy somewhat, and here's how they modified the policy. They said, if you are a farmer, and you're in one of the farming areas in China, and you have your one child of the one-child-only policy, and that child is a girl, then you can apply for permission to have a second child in hopes of having a boy. The British Medical Journal is out with a truly, truly frightening story, and it's a major study. And if you look at the research behind this, the British Medical Journal actually looked at 1% of the Chinese population. When you look at the population of China, that means they took a massive, massive sample. And this is what they found. They found that in 2005, males under the age of 20 exceeded females by more than 32 million in China. That is, boys and young men under the age of 20 exceeded females, that is, girls and young women, by more than 32 million. There are more than 1.1 million excess births of boys in just the year 2005. Here's their judgment. China will see very high and steadily worsening rates of sex ratios in the reproductive age group over the next two decades. Now, this gender imbalance isn't natural. No one believes it's natural. This gender imbalance is being caused, well, let me just tell you, the British Medical Journal said it can date it precisely to when ultrasound technology became widely available. So track the logic here. Here's what's going on. Ultrasound technology becomes available. You can have only one child, or if that child is already a girl, you apply for a second child. If you find out that the baby in the womb is a girl, you just abort it, and you start over. William Salatin at Slate.com explains it. Here's the cruel, ruthless logic. Quote, "It's a terrible convergence of ancient prejudice with modern totalitarianism. Girls are culturally and economically devalued. The government uses powerful financial levers to prevent you from having another child. Therefore, to make sure you can have a boy, you abort the girl you're carrying." Now, the Chinese government comes back and says, look, sex selection abortion is illegal in China. Well, it may be illegal, but it is widely practiced. Practiced by the millions, evidently, on an annual basis. And as you have this study from the British Medical Journal, the research is impeccable and unimpeachable. The result is clear. Now, one of the things we need to talk about today is why we must insist that every single baby has an equal dignity of life and should be recognized as having the right to be born. We're going to talk about why Western liberals have a very hard time arguing why the one-child-only policy and this sex selection abortion practice is wrong. One of the most interesting things to see right now is to watch the feminists squirm on this issue, because here in the United States, they have been making the argument for the last generation and more that a woman has a constitutional right, a moral right, to an abortion for any reason or for no reason. Well, what if that any reason is because the baby is a girl? I'll come back again and again to the fact that I believe the Christian worldview that believes and teaches that every single human being has a dignity of life and has a sacredness of life because they are made by the Creator and made in the Creator's image, and that that dignity and sanctity of life extends from the moment of fertilization to the moment of natural death. I believe that once you surrender any part of that Christian biblical worldview, you render yourself defenseless against this kind of practice. The phone number is 877-893-8255. Let's go to Nathan calling from Shelbyville, Kentucky, listening on WFIA. Go ahead, Nathan.
Dr. Mueller, I just wanted to say I spent 2 years in southern China and worked in an orphanage there. And although the practice of not finding out the sex of the baby is illegal, as you said, sometimes when the baby comes out and there's any form of deformity on the boy, even if it's just an ear or any form of mental handicap or anything like that, they'll just completely discard the baby. And one of the things that I just really have a passion for is, not only is it those babies, however we see them to be deformed or ill-shapen, they're created in the image of God, and to treat them like that is absolutely inhumane. And it's something we don't think of enough, is that these children are discarded, and that not only we look at China and we think that that's happening here in America too. So, yeah.
I really appreciate your call, Nathan. To hear that is to just affirm again that once you begin to deny the sanctity of human life, you find it convenient to say, I'm going to deny the right of this baby girl in the womb to live because I want a boy. Then it is very easy to say, I'm going to deny the sanctity of human life to some other. And you mentioned in particular babies that are born with any deformity. I guess the worst possible situation to imagine for a girl is, first of all, to be a girl and then to have some kind of physical problem. I mean, you start to ratchet up the risk here. One of the other developments that has come out of China, and this made the New York Times just in recent days, is the fact that this pressure for baby boys, this incredible hunger for baby boys, is leading to a wave of boy stealing, of abductions. It's scary stuff. The New York Times even interviews a man that paid $3,500 for a 5-year-old boy because he said people who don't have a boy don't have anything. We're going to come back to talk about why the Christian worldview offers such a stark alternative and corrective to this. And I really mean what I'm going to ask here. Is there any other worldview? Is there any other argument that can be made other than every single person, born and unborn, is made in the image of God? We'll be right back.
You're listening to the Albert Mohler Program, your place for intelligent Christian conversation about the issues that matter. To get online, call toll-free 1-877-893-TALK. That's 1-877-893-8255. Or go to www.albertmohler.com. Here again is your host, Dr. Albert Mohler.
Welcome back to the Albert Mohler Program. I want to throw a challenge at you, and I'm going to be very clear about it. How would you make the case that what is going on in China is wrong? I mean, make the case. Someone asks you, all right, why is it wrong that these baby girls are being aborted? Why is it wrong? If people want a boy, then let them abort the baby and wait until they know they have a boy. If they don't like the boy they have that's born with some kind of problem, as Nathan was telling us, it happens to handicapped children, then let them abandon them or practice infanticide and start all over again. If you can only have one child, then, you know, we all want high consumer quality. That, you know, we understand that in the United States. We have one car. We're going to want a good car. We're going to want a car that runs. You know, if we're going to have one coat, we want it to be a good coat. Well, what about one baby? This is insidious stuff. It is horrifying. But it isn't going to be answered or answered well until Christians frame the argument in an adequate way. And the other challenge of this is I want to know, first of all, how you would make the argument that this is wrong. But I also want to talk about how someone who would be basically pro-choice on abortion would argue that this is wrong. The feminist movement has been established adamantly upon the principle of a woman's right to an abortion at any time, for any reason or for no reason. The logic of the feminist movement has been, once you decide that there are good reasons and bad reasons for abortion, then women are going to have to be submitted to someone's external idea of a good reason or a bad reason. So it has to be for any reason or for no reason. Well, that leads to the abortion of baby girls in the womb in China. The phone number is 877-893-8255. That's 877-893-TALK. I want to know what you're thinking about this. Of course, you can also follow us at Twitter at Mohler Radio, at Facebook at the Albert Mohler Program. Write us at mail@albertmohler.com. If you're interested in following me again in terms of regular updates through the day, follow me personally at Twitter at Albert Mohler. One word put together. The phone number is 877-893-8255. That's 877-893-TALK. We're going to get to calls in just a moment. Right now we've got Bill calling from Cincinnati, Ohio. What are you thinking, Bill? Do we have Bill? Sounds like we lost Bill. We've got other calls coming in. The phone number is 877-893-8255. That's 877-893-TALK. Very interesting comment that I got by email just in the time since I posted the article overnight. I had a question coming back saying, why does the Chinese government allow these ultrasound machines to be made available if they say that sex selection abortions are illegal? Well, that goes back to the fact that what governments say and what governments do are often two very different things. And the reality is that the Chinese government seems to have its major concern, reflected in this one-child-only policy, in preventing the growth of the population by limiting the number of births to one couple, one child. By the way, one of the problems of the one-child-only policy, I mean, after you kind of step away from the human rights issues and the immorality of it on its face, it creates an economic disaster because this one child, and in most cases now we know this one child that survives is a boy, he has to support eventually himself and his parents and his grandparents. That's two parents and four grandparents. That tells you where all this is going. Let's try again to go to Bill in Cincinnati, Ohio. What are you thinking, Bill?
Hi, Dr. Mohler. The comment on the fact that there was a practice prior to the ultrasound where, in particularly rural areas of China, the babies that were born female were often buried and murdered so that they could then go and have a boy child. And this practice was, of course, widely condemned in the United States. But at the time, I was actually an atheist. I'm a Christian now, and I'm my doctorate degree is in molecular genetics. But I would argue that, you know, what's the difference at that point? I couldn't understand how people could condemn that practice and still go out and have an abortion here in the United States.
Yeah, Bill, that you raised such an important point, because where's the dividing line? Is human dignity divided between one side of the womb or the other? You know, once you begin to make that argument, we realize it has every problem that is imaginable. And the first one is that it falls on its face just in terms of the moral logic. But you know, as much as it does, which is to say that you take a moment, you take the baby just moments before its birth and just after its birth, does its moral status change? No. Does its dignity and does the sanctity of its life change? Obviously not. But according to the law in the United States, it does. Just think of how difficult it was to get the Partial Birth Abortion Ban Act through this Congress and into legislation, and look at how many challenges there have been to it, because, again, the people who are arguing for abortion cannot tolerate any restriction on abortion for any reason at any time. And they can't accept that abortion for any reason could be wrong, because the first time they admit that it's wrong, they know they're on the slippery slope to having to admit that they are all wrong. Bill, thank you for your call. That's invaluable. We'll be right back with more on the Albert Mueller Program.
The Superior Gold Group, a precious metals firm, is proud to sponsor the Albert Mueller Program. You can get more information about buying gold at 866-432-8656.
Welcome back to the Albert Mueller Program. This is a horrifying topic, but it's one every single listener needs to have very clearly in focus, because this brings the moral crisis of our day right before our eyes. We need to see this. You know, from time to time, we need to be brought and forced to look at something with this kind of moral horror in order to understand what human beings will do. It reminds me, as a Christian theologian, of what Paul does in Romans chapter 1. In Romans chapter 1, Paul is not singling out individual sinners. He's not saying, look over there, there's a homosexual. Look over there, there's an adulterer. Look over there, there's a child who's rebellious to parents. He's singling out humanity. And he says that humanity is sinful. He wants to make that point very, very clearly. He illustrates that point. First of all, he tells us what it is. He tells us the essence of sin. It is exchanging the worship of the Creator for a form of idolatry. It is robbing God of his glory. And what we have is an exchange. Three times mentioned in Romans chapter 1. Exchange the truth for a lie. And then you have women exchanging the natural use of the man and burning a desire one for another. And men exchanging the natural use of the woman and desiring one another. And so you look at that and say, well, he's singling out homosexuality. He is, as an illustration. His point there is not that you have to get to homosexuality in order to find something that's sinful. His point is that human beings are deeply sinful, and look what human beings will do. You know, he is saying, look at this. He's taking our faces and holding us right in front of the mirror and saying, look at this. This is what humanity looks like. Do you not understand the problem of sin? And lest anyone think he's off that list or she's off that list, by the time you get to the end of the book of Romans and the chapter that begins that book, Romans chapter 1, everybody's there. Well, that's exactly what this story in China makes us do. It's like our head is being held and we're being forced to see what human beings will do. And furthermore, we're being forced to see what happens when the dignity and sanctity of every single human life is surrendered. When we surrender that high ground, then we're just negotiating away human dignity and the sanctity of human life. You know, I'm pointing right now at China. This news story is coming out of China, and China and its totalitarian government bear moral responsibility for this horrifying reality. An imbalance of boys to girls that is being caused by the fact that baby girls are being routinely, by the millions, aborted because couples limited to having one child in the first place are determined to have a boy. But as much as I am pointing at China with the blood guilt that is upon that nation for this criminal pattern of activity, I have to point back to the United States of America and say, before we throw stones, we better recognize that we too have made our own deal with the culture of death in terms of abortion on demand and many other compromises of the sanctity of human life that are now becoming routine in this country. I appreciated so much Bill called and he was mentioning the fact that there are realities historically in China before the ultrasound of what we would have to define as infanticide, which is a baby girl that is born. Before you have ultrasound, you don't know if it's a boy or a girl. You have to wait till after birth. And so after the baby is born, they see it's a girl, they bury it in the ground and kill it. And there are many ancient cultures that have done this. Ancient Greece, we have good records, did this. Cultures all over the place have done this because of a prejudice toward boys. But now with ultrasound, it can just be done in the womb. It can be done with a ruthless efficiency. But let's go back to the baby being buried in the sand. We know that's wrong. That's infanticide. That's murder. Well, it's moral insanity to say that it's not murder just because it takes place earlier and takes place in the geographical location of the womb. You know, one of the key issues here is why and how we would make the argument that a baby girl has an equal right to live than a baby boy. You know, it comes back to the fact that your worldview really makes a difference. And the worldview here that makes a difference on behalf of the dignity of life is that worldview that says that every boy and every girl, every man and every woman is fully made in the image of God, and thus we have no right whatsoever to deny the essential dignity and sanctity of every single human life. There's no way to say boys are more valuable than girls. There's no way to say it's all right to abort a baby girl simply for being a girl. There is no way that it is all right to say we're going to choose who shall live and who shall die in the womb. It is no way, by no means right, to say that we're going to treat children as a consumer commodity. We demand this child. We demand a child with these features. We demand a child with no physical problems. We demand a child that even has the gender that we expect. And you look at that and you say, that is so abhorrent. How can these people not see it? Well, then let's just jump over the Pacific Ocean and come to the United States, where routinely now in fertility clinics, where the practice of in vitro fertilization has become more and more standardized, there are custom sperm banks and custom egg banks, and there are now sorting systems, and now you have pre-implantation diagnostics that take place by genetic testing in order to say this is the embryo of a child we think is more likely to be an athlete, more likely to have blue eyes. This one is a girl. This one is a boy. And so right now in the United States of America, we are discarding human embryos as if they are of no moral significance whatsoever. You know, worldviews matter. We know that. We come back to it again and again on this program. And worldviews matter not just in terms of looking and making some kind of cogent, intelligent analysis of a culture afar. Worldviews matter because one of the tests of the truthfulness of a worldview is its consistency. We're not claiming that the Christian worldview is operational only in China. It must be operational here as well. If it's true in China, it is true here. We don't believe that there are local worldviews with local truths. We believe that there is one great moral truth because there is one Creator, and that central moral truth when it comes to the dignity of human life is that our Creator has made every single human being in His image. Folks, we're up against it on this. There's no doubt about it, because what we're looking at here is the routinization, even the industrialization of the culture of death. And, you know, one of the saddest things in this British Medical Journal report, here is a profound and devastating truth. If today the Chinese government sought to solve this problem, it could do absolutely nothing to provide today's 20-year-old Chinese young men a wife. Even if China were to have a complete change of heart and renaissance and revival of conscience on this issue, and I pray for that, it still can't close the gap that a generation of this totalitarian and immoral practice has caused. This is one of the greatest tragedies of our times. We dare not turn our face from it. I'll be right back. Welcome back to the Albert Mueller Program. There are so many reminders in this particular tragic story that moral issues are never, never discrete. They touch everything else, which is to say that the presenting issue here is China's totalitarian one-child-only policy. That's how this really got started, at least in terms of this rapid rise in the abortion of girls in the womb. But the second thing that comes along is ultrasound technology that gives people a view into the womb, and thus they can then decide, oh, it's a girl. We're going to abort and start over in hopes of having a boy. So you have the intersection of this totalitarian policy with a technological development that helps persons to understand the gender of the baby, and then they just say, well, all right, if it's a girl, we're going to abort it and start all over again. But there's just so much more to this. Then you create a gender imbalance, an imbalance between the sexes, such that it is so out of balance that there are at least 33 million more young men than young women between the ages of 5 and 20 in China. And you say, well, that means, by the way, let's just do the math. That means that 33 million, we know it's more than that because that's just the boundaries of that age cohort. 33 million Chinese young men have no hope of having a wife. Received an email from someone who pointed out, and by the way, there are reports of this in the major media, that that some people believe this is leading to a rise in homosexuality in China, male homosexuality. This is creating a horribly corrupted situation in which human beings now trapped within a system in which there can be no moral recovery in the sense of producing wives. I mean, you can't produce 20-year-olds. No government can today entice parents to produce 20-year-olds. It'll be a generation. If China today was convicted of the horror of this reality and was morally convulsed in an effort to resolve the problem, and they right now made it clear that every single child, male or female, unborn, has a right to life, well, that would do nothing to produce wives for the generation of 33 million young men who have no hope of a wife. One of the phrases used in China for these young men is broken branches, because when you think of the family tree, that's the metaphor from which this is taken. Broken branches mean branches from which there cannot be and will never be children. Folks, just remember that worldviews matter. And on this program, we try to take issues like this, not just to look at it in order to recoil in horror, although that is an appropriate response here, but to look at it with broken-hearted but clear-headed thinking, to say, this really does mean that worldviews matter. It really matters if you believe that every single human being is made in God's image. Because once you back off of that, every human life is discountable immediately. I'll meet you tomorrow for Intelligent Christian Conversation. I'll see you then.
Thanks for listening, and be sure to visit our website, www.albertmoeller.com. You'll find archives of past shows and other important resources. You can also email your questions and comments. That's www.albertmoeller.com. Be sure to join us next time for the Albert Mohler Program, your place for intelligent Christian conversation about the issues that matter.